The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Command Podcast. Greg Hoffman here. Logan Paulson there. Let's take a look at the Commanders offense led by newly minted Pro Bowler Jaden Daniels. Throwing to newly minted Pro Bowler,
again,
Terry McLaurin. Congratulations to Jaden and Terry for being named Pro Bowl starters. Very, very, very deserved on both fronts. I'm really glad, frankly, to see Terry get that recognition. There's so many great wide receivers in the league right now doing so many things, but he's right up there in yards, right up there in touchdowns with all of them. And he's had just a tremendous year showing what he's capable of once you get him a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. And that's what Jaden was in year one. One of his roughest games, though, perhaps, was against the Dallas Cowboys that last time out. Now, some of it was not his fault. He had that weird interception where he hits B-Rob in the hands on the screen, and B-Rob just accidentally whoopsies it right to a Dallas defender. But there was real struggles in that game. Jaden against man coverage, 1 for 9, took 4 sacks, had 2 interceptions. That was against pressure in that first matchup. So they really were able to get home in a way that a lot of other teams hadn't to that point against Daniels. And so when you look at this rematch, Logan, how do they protect Jaden? And what do you think some of the big picture things they do to try to get this offense going in a way it just could not in the first matchup?
Yeah, this game is so fascinating to me just in the prep and kind of reviewing what happened in the last matchup, just because I really feel like the Dallas Cowboys defensively came out with like a really excellent plan, specifically their pressure plan. And that's what, you know, Zimmer's kind of known for, is these kind of game plan pressures on third and long situations. And you saw a little bit of that. And he has probably some of the best pressures I've seen over the course of this year in terms of putting the offensive line and their protection rules in conflict. And you've seen a couple teams try to bring similar pressures, especially when they've got the Commanders have those chip players in there, and just kind of mess with those rules and maximize their rush. And I really think like that was something that really stood out to me, is not only were they able to kind of cultivate a unique pressure plan, probably 3 or 4 third downs, probably 3 third downs where there's really like some exotic pressure and really great job scheming it up. There's a first down, the first down of the game. They're trying to take a shot down the field. The Commanders they bring a 4-man overload to the play action side, to the man side of the protection, and they have to flush Jaden from the pocket. So really looking forward to seeing how this offense and Kliff kind of evolve and kind of say, hey, we can kind of corral some of these pressure looks. The other thing is what they're going to do with Micah Parsons on the interior. Right. Obviously, like prior to that last matchup, they were pretty much like Micah's going to play defensive end, and then all of a sudden he probably has, I don't know, 5 to 10 snaps where he's lined up as a defensive tackle.
He's got six listed per PFF as defensive tackle, then a couple more where he's technically like a middle linebacker. Mm. So, you know, I guess that's maybe one's hand in the dirt, one's he's in a 2-point stance, but like he's in there that 6 to 10 times.
Right. But in terms of the pressure question, like you get 3 unblocked pressures, which are good design. Then you get a couple of really quick wins by Micah Parsons. And all of a sudden, you know, out of, I forget how many third downs they had, it was like 12 or something like that, whatever the number is. But you have over half of them where you have quick pressures, and Jaden can't be Jaden Daniels in terms of survey the field, make good decisions as a thrower and a runner. So to me, that's going to be really interesting. And then the other thing you talked about was kind of the coverage structures they played. You know, they played a lot of man. They also played a ton of quarters. They played a lot of 6. They played a lot of kind of single high, no plug player underneath because they're bringing 5-man rushes. They just brought a lot of different stuff to Jaden Daniels. And so, what does this look like? You know, how do you handle that kind of variety? We've seen him handle the Philadelphia Eagles, which is to me one of the best defenses in football. We saw what he did versus Atlanta last week. They bring a lot of different stuff. I think also New Orleans, just kind of different levels of variety. But for whatever reason, it kind of caught him off guard. And I think that was kind of coming into the doldrum area of his season, you know, like right before the
bye. I was going to say, yeah, that's something that I was, as you were talking, we didn't talk about this in our production meeting, our pre-show meeting, but you know, okay, bring in a ton of pressure. That's worked for some teams, but most of them were kind of in that weeks, let's say 9 to 13-ish,
yeah,
when the rib injury was an issue for him more than we realized at the time, because now we're like reminded this is what healthy Jaden looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And now some teams that have pressured him have lost out, including the Atlanta Falcons, who gave up 127 rushing yards to him last week. So I think it's probably worth pointing out that one, the Cowboys look different from a health perspective. Mainly, DeMarrion Overshown is not going to play in this game. He's out for the season. And he had a career-high 5 pressures and 1 sack on 13 pass rushes in that first game. But Jaden is going to be able to escape in a way that he couldn't the first time around, which seems like a relevant plot point.
Yeah, and I also think the style. So that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. And I think it's a good point to kind of give some context on, because obviously, you know, Atlanta brings a lot of pressures. They, you know, like their, some of their, you know, simulated pressures and overload pressures were really great and, you know, like really just well designed and well schemed up. The thing about the Dallas game, I think this was the last game where they just had a ton of free runners to the quarterback. Like just kind of not mental mistakes, but literally like just breaking protections. Like Overshown's running free in the A gap because of the style of pressure that they're bringing or the pattern that they're bringing. Micah Parsons is winning right now. And you haven't really seen that style of pass rush since Dallas, right? Since Dallas. You see a little bit from Philly, but again, it's a 4-man rush. They did some overload stuff. I think you saw that in the second matchup where Jaden's kind of got a little bit of pressure, but the quickness of the win was really just, it was incredible last game. So that's one thing that I'm curious to see how they handle. And then the other thing to kind of just piggyback off that point is, I remember talking about this post game and then going back and rewatch it, I felt the same way. Their first and second down efficiency generally in this game was a little bit spotty. And so you look at the Atlanta game and their first and second down efficiencies, great, right? Because Jaden Daniels is making great decisions as a runner. They've got the quick game going. They're kind of always in relationship to the sticks, or in the relationship they want to be in the sticks. And I remember in the Dallas game, there was a lot of situations where they weren't. And like, you know, you get to a 3rd and 4 and you drop the slant on that down and distance. And so there was just a lot of things like that in the game where they're what they wanted to be, like versus Atlanta. I think this is a good example. So versus Atlanta, they were really hyper efficient, you know, like whether it was the scrambling, you know, whether it was the quick game, whatever it was, they were really efficient. They possessed the ball for big chunks of that game and not a lot of big plays, right? And then yeah, you look at kind of the other game, which is the Philly game, and they're able to find not a lot of efficiency, but a couple big plays. And in the Dallas game, they weren't really able to do either one of those things well. They couldn't find the explosive play, and they weren't overly efficient. And obviously, the explosive plays come in the fourth quarter, where it's that crazy comeback, and they're like all of a sudden in a dogfight, which didn't really feel like, it kind of felt like it was out of reach the whole time. But I do think that's going to be also very interesting, is can you be efficient or can you be explosive? And they've won games when they can do one or the other. And obviously, Dallas was the last time they weren't really able to do either.
Right. So when you look at the strategy of being either efficient or explosive, one, do you have to choose? And two, which choice would you make? Because it felt like they definitely made a choice in the first game. The choice was, we're going to try to be explosive. It didn't work. And that really was tough sledding. Now, you might say, okay, we'll just go with the efficiency route. Well, Philly hits a bunch of big explosive plays in their game last week, and they put up 41. Yep. You know, 3 of their 5 touchdowns, I think, are 20-plus yarders. I mean, they're in the high, they're just outside the red zone, but there are those 20-plus yard shots into the end zone. Some of that was, by the way, basic day one install stuff. They scored a touchdown on Dusty. They scored one on like a smash slot fade concept, and you're like, that is easy stuff. That's Philly though. They have AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, and so they can run simple stuff, and it works exceptionally well. But if you're Cliff thinking about what happened in that first game and who you want to be, do you try to just hit a bunch of quick game? And also, I think, you know, it's worth mentioning two other factors, or one other factor here in two prongs, your own personnel, right? If Tyler Biadasz is out, that's going to change how you feel about your protection, both getting called and it getting executed. And if De'Ami Brown is out, and both those guys missed practice on Wednesday, which as we record this Thursday morning is the latest information that we have, If De'Ami Brown is out, you're very limited on your explosive downplay receiving threats. So that seems like a relevant plot point as well, as you put together a game plan and make that decision.
Yeah, and what I would say is, just after watching the Dallas game, I really liked how aggressive Kliff was, but I just think it was just like a little bit too much. And again, it's easy for me to play Monday morning quarterback and kind of make that assessment. But I would just say, just be a little bit more selective about your explosive opportunities, right? Just be a little bit more deliberate about, it doesn't need to be every first down, doesn't need to be every time you cross the 50. Like, if you're feeling good and the quarterback's locked in, like, make that throw. The other thing I would say too, which I noticed on rewatch, which was a little surprising, is Kliff, I think throughout the year, has just done a fantastic job of getting Jaden comfortable very early in the game. Like, we got a quick completion, we got a click, whatever. And that wasn't really there. Like, their first downfield shot, because it comes off a turnover, is like Terry's running what I would call like a skinner. Like, there's double posts to the offensive left, and there's a little bit of a rush. Jaden has to scramble out, but like, there isn't an easy completion for him until, you know, and it's not really Kliff's fault, because like, game flow situation kind of lead to that. But I'd say, like, let's make sure he's settled in. You know, he's the best player on the field for the Commanders on offense usually. Let's make sure he's settled in, feels comfortable. And then just to Kliff, like, let's make sure that we can kind of play both sides, like you're saying. I don't think you need to make a choice. I think, you know, lean into the quick game, lean into the rushing attack. Those are things that have been really, like, when you look at how effective they've been throughout the year, are really just top shelf items for this team in terms of efficiency. Then when you get kind of that play, that moment, call it. And it doesn't need to be every, like there was times in the New Orleans game where you could feel Kliff trying to get the big play, right? And so every first down, he's taking a shot, and they just couldn't execute. The coverage is good, the rush gets home, whatever it is. But like, let's make sure it's one we love, when we know we feel very confident we're going to hit, it's got answers, and let's call it then, as opposed to kind of that, I don't know, that urgency to get the chunk, I guess.
For sure. And it's, I think especially because of how well they're executing recently in the red zone, you don't have to score on big plays. Like, I'm okay getting down to the red zone. And some teams are just so bad down there. It's like, all we're going to do is drive between the 20s and then kick a field goal. I don't want to do that. And especially with the state of kicking this year in the NFL, some teams might not trust their kicker. Like, Washington is in a situation where they have been excellent in the red zone, especially in the back half of the season. So there should be no fear of just, all right, fine, you're going to give us stuff underneath, and we're going to be able to run the football, and like, we can do our in-between the 20 stuff. Fine, we get to the 18-yard line, like, we're going to go score. We're going to get another 10 yards. We're going to get down to the 8. We'll get another 6 yards to get to the 2, and then you have to deal with Jaden Daniels on a zone read, triple option pass situation. Like, right. We trust that. That if you give us 3 shots at it, we'll be able to get in. So I think that also should influence the play calling. One last piece of this that is, we should spend a little bit of time on, just because we don't know, but certainly something that we can spend more time on previewing the playoff game, because I would imagine that is definitely when this guy plays. Austin Ekeler might be coming back. Right. They've opened his 21-day practice window. He was a full participant Wednesday. If I were them, I'd definitely want to see if I can knock a rust off before he just goes full bore in a playoff game. But as they look for options for explosive plays, they got so many from Austin early in the season. I would definitely consider that as an option in the screen game, or using him in a variety of ways. And they didn't have that option in the first game because he got hurt against – actually, no, that's the game he got hurt. It was late in that game against Dallas. So, what would he bring back to this offense in terms of accomplishing both the explosiveness goal and the efficiency goal?
Well, I think that's exactly what you're looking for, right, is just those explosive opportunities. And everyone says, you might not score on the explosive plays, but it does make it more likely to score. Like, even if you just got like a 30 or 40 yard chunk, like, it's just less times you have to screw something up as an offense, right? And that's one of the reasons why when they go on these 7-minute drives, and there was two of them last week versus Atlanta, you're kind of like, that's so unusual, because on one of those drives, and we saw a little bit of it and we talked about it in the review show, is you get a penalty, you get a holding, you get a drop pass, and it derails the whole drive and you can't overcome it. Obviously, they were able to do something really special and overcome a bunch of penalties and overcome some drop passes and just general kind of lack of like super sharp football. But usually that's the exception, not the norm. And so with Austin, again, like, he gives you like, hey, here's a little screen, here's a bubble pass that I'm able, or a draw that I'm able to kind of turn into a 15-20 yard gain. That's an explosive play, right? That's all we're saying. So it just eliminates the idea of having to go five plays to get to 25 yards, and there's five opportunities to get a hold, to get a drop pass, to get a sack, whatever it is, and all of a sudden we're there. So I'd say that's what I, when I look at him and his skill set and what he did so well early in the year, and what Cliff did so well, and Anthony Lynn and the whole staff did well, is really just kind of saying, hey, like, Austin, like, we're going to make sure that you find these opportunities, and Austin did a great job executing on them. So I think that's, if he came back, that would be definitely something I'd look at. But I don't know. To your point, like, the rust thing is interesting, because guys who haven't played a lot of football, and I know he's played a lot of football in his career, but coming back off something like that, it'd be interesting to see like where his headspace is at, and you might want to get him a couple touches just to see how comfortable he is again before you like need him in the playoffs.
For sure. And, you know, it's something, talking about Eckler, I was reminded of from the first game too. They had great field position all day and could not take advantage. Yeah. So, you know, making sure they maximize these opportunities. So that'll be definitely interesting to watch. Anything else on the offense? I guess we should talk quickly about the run game and the ability to get that going with or without Eckler. B-Rob, it's funny because last week everyone's like, oh, B-Rob was like the narrative, right? Is B-Rob had a bad day. Chris Rodriguez was awesome. We need more Chris Rodriguez. And I think emotionally, like, we kind of felt that way almost after the game. I certainly did. Mm. And then you go back and look at the numbers and you're like, Chris Rodriguez had the greatest six carries for 15 yards in NFL history. Because I actually should look up the number. I'll try to do this as you talk here. The amount of yards he had after contact last week was definitely greater than his actual rushing total. Because he got hit so often behind the line of scrimmage and then made it work. But B-Rob also had a pretty good day by the end of it. I mean, he hit some big gashes in the second half. So what do they do, or what do you think they can do well against Dallas to have that part of the game, both Jaden and the quarterback run game, but also the design running back run game, get back on track heading here into the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up about B-Rob, because I did think he had a very effective performance versus Atlanta, and I know it didn't probably feel that way, but when you go back and watch the tape, it's there on film. The thing that sticks out to me about the last matchup is just how aggressive and how fast Dallas's defense was, A, at penetrating. And when we've talked about this a bunch, when, you know, the Commanders have played Philly, obviously getting ready for Grady Jarrett. But when there's like these fast penetrating defensive linemen, it seems to give the Commanders a really tough time. And obviously they've installed a little bit of trap. They've installed some wham, which is a good way to deal with that. So I'd expect to see more of that. The other thing I'd expect to see is more of that pre-snap motion and kind of jet motion, just like right before the snap that you saw versus New Orleans, as a way to get their safeties and corners to soften up and kind of be a little bit less aggressive in the run fit. Because, like, as we were talking in our pregame meeting, like, their leading tacklers are Eric Kendricks, who's the middle linebacker, so that makes sense, Donovan Wilson, who's a safety, Malik Hooker, who's also a safety. So, like, their safeties and run support are a big deal, but they also have coverage responsibilities. So, like, if you look at what Atlanta did to the Commanders in the first half of that game last week, they did a lot of stuff just with formation to make those run fits a little bit harder. And Cliff has done an excellent job of that throughout the year. So I would expect to see a little bit more of that in terms of, like, hey, we got to deal with the penetrator. We just talked about our traps and our whams, and just kind of making that a point of emphasis mentally when we're talking about this team. But also, like, let's get in some different formations, spread them out a little bit, give them a little bit of eye candy beforehand, and really make them think about, where's my fit? How do I get into this run? And I think there'll be more opportunities there. And I think one of the things that stuck out to me about the last matchup is it felt like they were like, we can run Baltimore's runs. We can do what the Baltimore Ravens did to the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that game was earlier in the season, maybe like week three or four. And obviously, the Baltimore Ravens rushed for some ungodly amount of number. And as we've talked about, like, our offensive line is good. They're tough. They're physical. They're smart players. But they're not that mauling group that Baltimore has cultivated, right? They need a little bit of help. And so I do think understanding that and having that context around this team makes this matchup a little bit more exciting from a run game standpoint, because I do think they get a little loose in the back end because they're having guys from fit runs from quarters positions, which is 10 yards off the ball. So you can mess with them a little bit. And so I'd like to see that. And I do think you can cultivate a really fleshed out rushing attack versus this team. And I expect them to be much more effective because, again, they kind of understand what this team does and what they want to do from a run stopping standpoint.
For sure. And just to close the loop on Chris Rodriguez's performance against the Falcons, he did indeed have more rush yards after contact than he did rush yards. He had just 5 carries in the game for 16 yards, but it was 23 yards after contact, an average of 4.6 yards per attempt after contact.
That's wild, man.
Yeah.
So on both of his, on a couple of his, yeah, getting hit way behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah, it makes sense, man. He did have a good day. He did have a good day. And, you know, B. Rob's doing a great job. And that's kind of one of the things you talk about Austin Ekeler. I'm curious to see what they do with Chris because he's kind of been the flex guy. So he's even up this week if Austin's back. I don't know. But
yeah, and he plays teams as well. So you can, finagle some things. Yeah, I definitely wonder how they move the roster around. I mean, they're heavy. I guess maybe they're not heavy at receiver if Diami's out. I don't know.
Because of kind of the injury situation, they got to keep certain guys up at certain spots. And all of a sudden, kind of the roster math, if you want to get Austin back, is tough. And that's why that's one of the reasons Adam Peters and that staff make a ton of money because of all the shifting and the people and this guy's up and this guy's down type deal.
So it's just unrealistic to have 4 guys up and plan on using them all too. So McNichols, Ekeler, C-Rod, B-Rob, they're not all going to get touches. So I don't want to cut Rodriguez. That's the thing is I want to make sure that he's still on the roster just in case. But I also don't know that he's going to be active on game day.
Right.
I also wonder with the receiver situation, we made a big deal about KJ Osborne when he got signed because it happened right. He's a guy that got claimed. He's had some nice numbers. He didn't really do a lot last week. And he's been inactive every week until last week. So I don't know. Maybe that's something where if Bryson Tremaine can play teams for us, do we call up Bryson and then he actually does a lot of the blocking stuff that we hoped KJ Osborne would do because he's not learning our offense fast enough or whatever. And I don't know why KJ has been down versus the other guys that have been up. But he definitely did not have a lot of snaps last week. I'll put it that way. So that is something to keep an eye on as well. And then again, maybe by the time that folks are listening to this, you save this the preview pod for Sunday morning, you have all the answers because they've done all this stuff already. But we will see. And obviously, we always have the injury report as soon as it comes out on Friday at about 4:15-ish on the Hoffman Show live on the radio. So tune us in on the Team 980.